We will call this meeting to order. Will everybody please rise for the invocation and pledge of allegiance? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for bringing us here this evening. Please guide this meeting. Please be with our residents. Please be with our city employees. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please be seated. Kirby is dedicated to delivering excellent municipal services to our community in a fiscally responsible manner. Will our state secretary please call roll?
Here.
Councilmember Grant?
Here.
Councilmember Lehman?
Here.
Councilmember Wilson?
Here.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Here.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Here.
Mayor Pierce?
Here. Item 5, citizens' participation. I will call Catherine McGarity regarding CAT. Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
You have 3 minutes.
Just an announcement. This is my son, Keelan. He's autistic. I have kind of kept him away, trying to come to the board meetings and everything. He is here. It is concerning him. He may make loud noises. He may grunt. He may get excited. He may yell. He may come say hello to you. Just be patient with us. We don't know everything about him yet. It's all new to us. But I'll try to keep him as quiet as possible.
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm here today, I'm sorry?
He's good.
I wish everybody saw it that way. We reside at 2431 Deer Grove. My mother resides at 2419 Deer Grove. There's frequent times that my mother's watching him when I'm dealing with our other two children that also has special needs as well, but Keelan by far is the one that has the most challenges. He elopes from our house. He'll run away. Sometimes he has gotten lost. He'll dart into the street. We have several cars that don't pay attention at the stop sign. They think the OP in the stop is optional, so they continue to run through the stop sign. One time when my son eloped, we did have to call Kirby PD out to help get him back to the home. During that time, within an hour time frame, 4 people were in the stop sign with a PD officer there. If we could get a sign or something to help protect my son, I know ultimately it is my responsibility, but not everybody knows about autism and not everybody knows what to look out for, and if there's something, I feel that maybe something would be able to help protect him a little bit more when more people know. That's it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All done. Oh, he wants to stay here.
All done.
No, we're not. We're going to step out there.
No, he's not going anywhere.
I don't think so.
Okay. Okay.
All right, Chris Garza, 4807 Michael Collins, regarding the gazebo at the Senior Center Park.
All right, thank you, City Council, for hearing me today. Kirby community is very excited to hear your vote on our pool picnic tables, and we want to look on to our next project, which would be to fix the gazebo at the Senior Center. This includes bracing it so it looks straight, pressure washing it so it looks clean, and planting flowers and putting mulch so that it looks pretty. Also, we would like to maybe find a small lamp to replace the old light pole that was taken down near the pergola and plant winter ryegrass in the field surrounding the gazebo during the fall. We would also like to purchase urns to fill with sand for the seniors who smoke there. All of this would be accomplished through fundraising, so we're not asking for any funds from the city. We just need your permission to proceed making this a reality. Also, we would like to use the park when we are done to have some activities to celebrate. All this will be done with the permission from the Senior Center, and we do not have a distinct date, but we're looking for around the 10th of August, or that week following. The grass will probably not be planted till the weather cools off, but we'll fundraise to have the seed on hand, and I ask that you place this on the agenda for the next meeting. Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris. Mr. Tom Hernandez, regarding City Roadwork, other services, I think it says ride-alongs, possibly?
Yes? Hi, Mayor. Hi, council members. I'm usually more prepared than this, but this is last-minute thing. The M&S briefing y'all had last session, I was really interested in it, mainly because my street, which is Dick Gordon, is right off 78. And I'm sorry I don't remember the names because I'm just still new here. It was one of those roads that was really bad, and I was looking forward to this M&S situation occurring. I didn't know that it was actually will occur, hopefully, without issue. And I was just looking for more information on that. Okay? So maybe by next meeting, if there's anything y'all could present me, whatever data you might be able to present, as far as maybe how you guys are thinking about it and stuff, as far as scheduling, whatever that might be. The second thing is my involvement in government now is to try and fix my area as well as the city itself. It's only a 2x2, 8,000 residents, I believe. In order for me to learn, I try and get as much knowledge as I can, paperwork, anything I can get my hands on. But hands-on experience usually does better for me. So ride-alongs, if it's possible, for some of these organizations, especially the ones that I am managing, you know, putting head up, whatever, I would really appreciate that. I'll waive any waivers that I might need to do. And not only do I encourage this for myself to do this, to learn, I encourage all of you, all the city people, to maybe ride along, especially if they have complaints and want to see how the city works. That's it. Thank you, Lee.
Thank you very much. We have John Holton. He actually has two items, crime control and item 8G. Do you want to wait to talk to about both of them?
The first one, I'm actually going to give my time to Stephanie.
On the crime control one?
Yes.
Okay, so do you want to wait till 8G?
Yes.
Okay, so the next one is Stephanie Faulkner. And that one is crime control and camping, which is 8G.
I'll wait on that one until the agenda item comes up.
You have 4 minutes for both of them.
Just one. The first one right now.
But
crime control.
You have to have both of them within your 3 minutes.
I have to have both of them in my?
Yeah, for your, well, actually your 6 minutes.
Okay, both. Okay, so even though they're separate items, you have 3 minutes. I have a total of 6 minutes is what I'm hearing.
Yes.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we're here to give an update for the Crime Control District. We're having a movie at the pool on the 7th at 7:30. And now I have a little disclaimer. As a former council member, I'm going to talk candidly about a concern I have. I also would like to speak about the fact that we have volunteer committees, commissions, and boards, and they are missing their council liaisons. As members of our community, we are volunteer groups. We make decisions that impact the decisions in the city. Council liaisons are an important part of this puzzle. It's not right that citizens give up their time in the city while the elected stipend officials sit it out. And the perfect example of this, and it really was disheartening, was the dedication of Reggie Russell Way. There was no one there. There was no council representation whatsoever. And I really felt for his family as they stood there, and Monique did an awesome job of trying to extend it and make it really important. But it was very, like I said, no one was there. And if you vote on it, I think that there should be at least one person to represent what was voted on and pushed through. So with that, I would like to give you the opportunity to come join us at the pool so that we can get some help, maybe selling concessions at our event for a movie at the pool. Okay? That's it. Second item. Or do you? Can I wait until that agenda item comes up, or do I need to?
It's up to the. It just doesn't seem to be working, Patty. It's up to Ms. Faulkner. She can speak now, or she can speak under item
HG.
Okay.
Yes, please. Wait till 8G.
Thank you.
All right, now, John, do you want to? You said you want to wait till 8G. Okay. Norma Zamora at 3910 Pinecrest regarding crime control.
Thank you. I wrote a 10-page report, but I only have 3 minutes, and I'm not going to read what I wrote. But basically, I've lived in Kirby for 12 years. I'm retired and disabled now. I had full-time employment with Child Protective Services. I was a former caseworker, and I'm a substitute teacher now with Judson ISD. And an incident happened last week on July 15, and the police were called because Casey Goins, who lives on Autumn Lane, and his girlfriend Shelby Palmer were threatening me, telling me they know where I live because they claimed that I was stealing mail from the mailboxes, and that's false reports, and I know it's a federal criminal offense. And it was actually them going through. So we had some words to each other, and the neighbor was called in to report it. The police were called, and what was reported on the police report was just a verbal confrontation and feuding, which it was not fully investigated. It wasn't properly written. It was a serious offense of false reporting, and they know me because I've reported them riding their bikes. They're unemployed. They ride their bikes all day and all night. And they go to my back door neighbor house, and I've reported that house with suspicious criminal things that are happening. They're camping there overnight. I've called code compliance. It just seems like it's constant and nothing's getting done. The Kirby police are writing reports that it's just a disturbance, it's just me yelling. And actually, there's a lot of crime. We have a video proof of Shelby Palmer tossing some unknown item at that time of incidents in her yard. And by the time it was investigated, they had removed the item. So it's my belief that they're the ones stealing mail, and they have abandoned cars still. They have maybe 7 or 8 bicycles that are in disrepair, all in the yard, in the carport. It's been reported many times that other cars are abandoned and nothing's getting done on Reading, Starfire. And I would like to propose a Kirby neighborhood crime watch group of volunteers. I think we need that in our streets and our neighborhoods now because it's constant crime. The Exxon on Diadem is also with these individuals going through day and night I reported to the owner that there's a lot of suspicious dealings going on there. So I don't know what the Kirby police can do to do more watches and help us establish a neighborhood crime prevention group.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Norma.
The next one is Jody Flynn. Do you want to wait for your item?
Sure. Oh,
okay. All right. For now, until we go back to the agenda items. Okay. All right, item 6 A and B, consideration of action on minutes. Item A is the regular minutes of July 11th, 2019. I will entertain a motion.
Make a motion to accept minutes for July 11th.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Pierce, to accept the regular minutes of July 11th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
All right, item 6B, special workshop July 18th. I will entertain a motion.
Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept the special workshop minutes from July the 18th, 2019.
Second. I have a motion by Mayor Pro Tem Audrey, seconded by Councilmember Apodaca, to accept the special workshop minutes of July 18th. Is there any discussion? All in favor, please raise your right hand.
Abstain.
Abstain.
Did you get that, Heidi? Item 7A, public hearing to rezone the property from the current zoning of commercial office and retail C1 to single family dwelling district R1. The property is located at CB 5865 block lot SIRR 289.84 feet of 17, known as 5619 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas 78219. At this time, I will close our regular meeting at 7:18 and open the public hearing. If there are anybody who wishes to speak on this rezoning, whether it be for or against, you can speak at the podium.
Hi, my name is Jody Flynn, and I want to thank you for having me on the agenda today. My situation is a little bit different, so in 3 minutes I'm going to wrap up my request and why. In 2005, I came before the board. The house on 5619 Old Seguin Road has been in my family since 2001. My parents also own a house on Peppermint, and the house is approximately 75 years old. It's a beautiful home. We've taken great care of it over the years. In 2015, I came in front of the board because we're listed as a multi-use with Bexar County, and then Kirby had it as either residential or commercial, of course, not both. I did ask for a special use so that I could try to start my small business. My profession is in dogs, so I wanted to board and groom some dogs. And I had a great history with Kirby. I've been here for 18 years, and so they approved it for me. The reason I asked and the reason I took that risk was because I've had multiple heart surgeries and transplant work. I could no longer work a regular job in retail, so I just wanted to give it a try. And we had this opportunity with this house, and if the city of Kirby was willing to work with me, I went through all the proper channels, and when I got approved, I took my belongings out of the house. I rented a house on Starfire, and I started my small business. Well, the city of Kirby has some, let's just say businesses can grow here. And my business grew. I had the right team, I had the right passion. The people started coming, and they kept coming, and we did great. They love us. I'm still in business in the city of Kirby. However, the house, like I said, is 75 years old. Dogs were ruining the floors. Customers said that we had, you know, worse parking than the HEB parking lot in the morning. I had zoning talking to me because, you know, we can't park in the street on Old Seguin Road. There were so many numerous reasons why that property just was not going to work for commercial. However, my business was built in Kirby. I wanted to stay in Kirby. So I looked, and I made it happen, and I rented a place on Ackerman Road, where we have grown by leaps and bounds. I mean, it's amazing. However, with my heart conditions and my kidney conditions and all of my medical, I cannot rent a house, have my house be empty on Old Seguin Road, and pay mortgage at a commercial business. My only choice is to... I haven't had dogs or anything over. We've been restoring the floors in the house since February. So now I would like to use it as my residence so that I can still keep my business in Kirby and keep my medical going so that I can continue to run my business with my great staff. I started with one groomer and myself, and I have 12 associates who work for us now in and around Kirby. And we take care of probably hundreds, if not thousands, of customers from Kirby and surrounding areas. So I'm asking that I can have residence back in our family home as long as there's no business going on there anymore. I would like to have it as a residential property, strictly. Thank you.
Is there anybody else here to speak on this item for the public hearing? I will close the public hearing at 7:22 and reopen the regular meeting. Item 8A, discussion and possible action on a request to allow the property located at CB 5865 block lot E183 feet of south 100 feet of 12, otherwise known as 4810 Gibbs Sprawl Road, Kirby, Texas, which is zoned commercial, office, and retail C1, to be used as a single family dwelling, District R1 property. We actually had a public hearing on this item. On June 27th, the council voted to table this item until this meeting to allow Mr. Bellotto time to submit an affidavit granting him permission to sign documents on behalf of the Allstate Properties Management. Mr. Bellotto has submitted that affidavit granting him the permission to sign on behalf of that entity, so that is why this item is here again this evening.
I
will entertain a motion.
Oh, Mayor, I make a motion that we accept his proposal and return it to residence.
As the specific use?
Yes. It's not written down a specific use, but yes. But single family, yes. It's not written like that, so I don't know which way to read it. Yeah.
I think they need to vote on both because a special use permit is a zoning change. So Mr. Grant's motion, which does need a second, would be an indicator that the council is ready to move forward on item 8B.
I second.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any other discussion?
Well, yes.
Oh. No, go ahead.
The first time it came up also, I mistakenly thought he has two houses there. And I thought it was the one furthest to the north. And it's not. It's the one in the middle of the one that he already owns that has a family in it. Plus to the south is a residence. So what that does is really and truly that limits this one particular lot that's in the middle of two houses with families on either side. So I don't really see that as at the moment as a good spot for a business. I think that with what he's done to the house, I went by and looked at it, and he's brought it into A1 shape. And I would like to see a family in there and that would participate in our community as opposed to letting it just sit and trying to wait for a business to go into a small lot between two houses that already have families living in them. That's my thought.
And this is for A and B?
It's at 4810 Gibbsball. Mr. Bellotto, do you want to...
Tell me where your property is, sir. No.
That was last
time. It's right over here, Jerry.
This one's Gibbsball, which is...
Where Sam lives, the next house over from Sam.
Go ahead, Mr. Bellotto.
Yeah, thank you for having me up here, and good evening, Mayor, City Council members. This house is right next to where Sam, that was involved in other communities' affairs, is right next door to him, to his house. Across the street from the gentleman that overbuilt that garage where he has all that metal and salvage, whatever he does, sales, is right across the street from there.
And is it? And then you have the house that is north of it. That's your other house, correct?
Yes, right next.
That's in between. Your house is in between Sam's and the other house that you have, and there's families in both.
Correct. If you don't mind, I know, you know, some of the council members may have passed by the house, but I have some photos here. If you don't mind, if I can pass them around, you can actually see what the inside looks like.
I peeked through the windows. You didn't lie. Well, no, you did.
The house has been vacant about 8 years. That's how long I've had the property. And I know that the city wants commercial use there. And by all means, I've tried. And I even had some agents working on it. I have a letter here from a broker that voiced his opinion as to the property use and what... you know, what can be done with it if we would try to lease it as commercial. I'll pass this along here. It's okay.
Oh, there's one for everybody. Well, I just want both. Would I be correct in asking you if you really diligently tried to make this a commercial effort, but it just wasn't there, would that be correct?
That's correct. And the agent there, the broker that wrote that letter, he tried. Also, you know, if it's commercial, if I happen to get someone that wants to use it as a commercial use, you know, the property codes would have to be up to date. In commercial, you cannot have all the electrical has to be in conduit. The doors have to open out versus in. I mean, basically, you know, it would be easier just to knock down the house and put up a retail strip center if the feasibility was there. That would be the thing to do. But, you know, I don't think it's there. And believe me, and you all know, look at QT. You know, when something is prime for commercial, they'll come knocking on your door. They'll contact the property owners, and if the zoning is not there, they're going to come knocking on your door to see if they can change it when they do their feasibility study. So, I mean, it's silly to have a house vacant. I put a metal roof on there. I put a lot of money into that house. And as you can see inside, you know, I redid the hardwood floors, metal roofs on both houses. And, I mean, if I lived in a nice home, I wouldn't want to live next to other homes that are not up to date. I mean, not up to date, but homes that are not kept up. And I don't know what the ordinances are for the city, but... You know, if the city could enforce people to maintain their homes, maybe, you know, I don't know if they can force them to paint it or do maintenance on it to improve the quality of homes here in Kirby, the property values would go up because that's how they arrive at the valuations. When Bay Appraisal comes around and values these properties, when a property sells, it's going to force the other surrounding properties' value up, and there's more tax revenue for the city. So, you know, the city of Kirby is very unique. You know, this could be like an Alamo Heights city because, you know, you go to Stone Oak and Stone Oak area, they got some beautiful homes there, but they're all, you know, up next to each other, real close to each other. The Kirby has some large lots here and some houses. And what I foresee is like, you know, to find all this land, you know, somebody can just knock down a house like they do in Alamo Heights and build a $300,000 or $400,000 home with a nice size lot. I mean, but if the zoning is, you know, messed up, where part of it could be commercial, or a lot of these people are selling the back part of their land to for trucks or commercial use, it just kind of messes up, you know, the aesthetics of that. But, you know, I'm no expert by no means, but, you know, I've been in this business for a while, and, you know, I think the city of Kirby's got something really good here. We have some large lots where you can have some beautiful homes here one day. And the tax rate is the same, by the way. Whether it's commercial or whether it's residential, the tax rate is the same. You're going to get the same amount of money. So if you got a $300,000 or $400,000 home, the taxes are based on that valuation. On that, you know. But.
So we have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any discussion? Further discussion? All right. Will our city secretary please call roll? Item 8B, discussion and possible action on ordinance number O-2019-859, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Kirby, Texas to grant specific use permit number 2019-010 for use of the property at 4810 Gibbs Sprawl Road, Kirby, Texas for a single family residence.
Mayor, I move that we accept the action on ordinance number 0219-859, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Kirby of Texas.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Wilson, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept ordinance number O-2019-859, amending the zoning ordinance of the City of Kirby to grant specific use 2019-010 for the use of property at 4810 Gibbs Sprawl Road, Texas for a single family residence. Any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Yes. Ordinance number O-2019-859 passes for the first reading. All right, item 8C, discussion and possible action on a request to rezone the property from the current zoning of commercial office and retail C1 to single family dwelling district R1. This property is located at CB5865 block lot SIRR 289.84 feet of 17, known as 5619 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas.
Mayor, I make a motion we accept the rezoning of the C1. I'm sorry, I can't read today, folks. The property located at CB5865 block, lot SIRR 289.84 feet, known as 5619 Seguin Road, Kirby, Texas.
Second.
We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson, to accept the rezone request for the property from the current zoning of commercial office and retail C1 to single family dwelling district R1. The property is located at CB5865 block lot SIRR 289.84 feet of 17, known as 5619 Seguin Road. This was the residence or the address for our public hearing. Further discussion?
I would just say this is basically the same situation. And I tell you what's really nice is to see one of our people succeed to where she outgrew where she is and has expanded her business. I think that's great. And I can understand trying to pay three payments at one time just doesn't work well. So she's got a nice house over there. Please let her live in it. Thank you.
I just hate to see all the work we put in all these years in the past of getting commercial property And here, one by one, we're turning it all back over to residential.
Well, if these properties are sitting vacant, I would rather see them have a family in them and have, you know, possibly, you know, community involvement growing our city. That's another way to grow our city. Either, you know, we can keep it commercial and just let it set, or we can have it, or we can get families in there, grow our community.
Well, we have that specific use permit. If certain things don't apply, then 2 years it resorts back to a commercial.
Right. Is that the way it is now?
That is one of them. This actually went in front of PNZ, and PNZ actually denied the rezoning request, but actually said if, in fact, that she that Ms. Flynn wanted to fill out a specific use, that they would consider that so that it wouldn't rezone it.
Well, also, the unique thing about this, you know, this is one of our citizens that has deep roots in the community. And I'm sorry, but I cannot any way turn this down. I think that she's been successful. She's helped our little city grow with an expanding business. And I understand, Mr. Lehman, Councilman Lehman, what you're saying, but I also understand sometimes things are special and you've got to do the right thing. So that's my thank you.
And also to Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge's comments, that may be something too, that which is something that I'll talk about later. As far as PNZ, that maybe that is something that needs to be revisited, how that footprint looks. That was pretty aggressive footprint. However, we've seen that it's not actually working the way it was designed. So maybe that is something that PNZ and the City Council needs to go back and look at as well. With those vacant lots sitting there, it's not doing anyone any good, other than receiving
and deteriorating buildings.
Deteriorating. So, all right, so we have a motion on the floor by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Councilmember Wilson. Is there any further discussion? All right, will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layden?
No.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Apodaca?
Yes.
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. All right, item 8D, discussion and possible action on via bus stop improvements. Will you be handling this? Okay, I will turn this over to our city manager.
Okay, Mayor and Council, a couple of meetings ago, one of our residents, Mrs. Clay, came to Council and spoke about the history of the bus stop at Charles Conrad, and her request was that for us to consider putting the concrete pad that was once at that stop back. And so just to give you a history on this, so that bus stop closed down in September of 2016. The reason is because at that time, VIA did a ridership assessment, and it had extremely low ridership. People getting on and getting off was less than 15 each day at that stop. So it was one of several that they closed. And at the same time, they had secured some funds to do bus stop improvements. And so Kirby had several bus stops that were improved where we put the city logo across the top of the shelters of the stops, as well as one stop that had the Old Spanish Trail logo, since we were along that trail. Mrs. Clay has gone to VIA's board meeting several times to express the concerns, and that was why they chose to reopen the stop, because she does use it frequently, and there was a concern about safety on the other stops for mobility. So I did get an update, and VIA has no record of when that concrete pad was put in. They didn't have any records as to whether they put it in or the city of Kirby put it in, but they did take the expense of taking it out. So I asked them to look at the ridership again. Since the stop reopened, it reopened in October of 2018, and you have a copy of the ridership report. They looked at the pre-closure ridership, and then they looked at the, since it's reopened, ridership. So you'll see that the numbers have, you know, decreased even more since they opened it. So they said it, they did not feel the ridership figures or justify them doing any additional improvements. So if, in fact, we wanted to consider the, putting the concrete pad back in the city of Kirby, we'd have to look at doing that. So I just wanted to bring you that information.
How big would the pad? Do you remember what the size of the other pad was or anything of that nature? I don't remember. I wonder what it takes to facilitate her riding, what do you call it, scooter, I guess you would call it? Because that's
one of
the problem.
Other suggestions that they said was if you wanted to look at a less expensive option is maybe look at curb cuts instead of the actual pad, but to be able to get onto it from the sidewalk, maybe less expensive. So if you'd like, I mean, we can get some cost estimates on that. We haven't done that.
You think we could look at that just to see what it would be? Please. Yeah.
Versus cutting the curb.
Yeah. Do both, would you?
Please.
And with that, probably an estimate to upkeep that, because inevitably it's going to deteriorate with the constant bus going over.
It's concrete.
Yeah.
Not installed.
The buses walk.
Well, don't the buses kneel? They do.
All right. Are there any other questions regarding this? Or we'll move to item 8E, discussion and possible action on Kirby Community Volunteer Project at city property located at 3211 Charles Conrad. Chris, would you like to just come and overview your project again? We have the information, but the audience does not.
This is the gazebo.
Okay, so what we have planned for the pool picnic tables is basically to replace all the wood on the top of the tables, to pressure wash all of the all the sidewalks. They go all the way pretty much up to the front door, all the way down, and all the pads that the tables sit on. We want to paint all the bases of the tables as well as the barbecue pits, and we want to trim the trees on the basically in that area, let the anything that was hanging lower than 10 to 12 feet, like around there, so you know it's not hitting people on the head. Other than that, we wanted to basically have like a little get together afterwards to celebrate and just invite everybody out from the community to just have some free hot dogs and just kind of enjoy ourselves for fixing the pool picnic tables. So that's pretty much it.
Does anybody have any questions for Chris?
I don't, but I have a question for Monique. Monique, does this interfere with any of the Boy Scout projects that we have approved?
Yeah, it doesn't interfere with any.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that.
And from staff standpoint, our only concern, which was discussed, our public works director discussed with Mr. Garza, is that the pool will be open during, was open at noon on Saturday, so we'd ask any tree trimming that they do, that that takes place before the pool opens, that area is secure because of the traffic to and from.
Thank you.
Well, when you get something free, I think we ought to accept it.
The community did fundraise it, so I mean, it has been going fairly well. We've been given a lot of stuff to make this happen, so the community is really, really excited about it. So it's a good thing.
Is that your motion?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Second.
I have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept the Kirby Community Volunteer Project at city property located at 3211 Charles Conrad. That will be taking place this Saturday, July 27th. Is there any further discussion? Will our city secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Lehman?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Councilmember Alagaka?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
happy Saturday to you.
Feel yes. free to come out, guys. Yep. I would really appreciate everybody there.
Cold root beer, right?
What?
Cold root beer?
Somebody offered to bring some.
And what time are y'all going to commence?
We're going to start early at 8 a.m. to do the work, but the get together is not going to happen until 6 p.m.
Saturday. Since you asked for volunteers, I was just making sure everybody knew what time you
guys
were starting.
Yeah, absolutely. People will be out there to help set.
All right, we will move to item 8F, update discussion and possible action on Benzingelman Road reconstruction project. Gilbert's favorite topic.
Gee, I know you.
Evening, Council, Mayor. The update that we have so far is Mark Hill sent out a question to Roy and Fermin on the 22nd. Did we get the signs in? When do we expect to get them installed? And the reply from that was from Mr. Fermin Mendez. Says, Mr. Hill, I was able to get confirmation this morning from Highway Infrastructures that the permanent signs are in and installation to start no later than this coming Friday. Please contact me for any questions or concerns. That was sent on the 24th. Any other updates? There has not been any work done. Fermin was also contacted by myself via email to let him know that they need to maintain the gate of the yard, which they have failed to do. It's very overgrown, very tall. So he told me they would have some workers out there to take care of it, which did not happen. The only other thing that has happened over there is a porta potty got pushed over. They picked it up and they had somebody haul it off. Other than that, no other work has been done or completed, and there hasn't been any further correspondence with SAC beyond that.
Too bad he wasn't in it. Did I say that?
Are there any further questions or?
Bless you, son. You have the patience of Job.
So if they get them in tomorrow?
Well, said no later than this coming tomorrow, Friday, which would be tomorrow. So I don't know. We'll see if they do anything tomorrow. There's been plenty of sunny days.
They were already supposed to be installed by today. So.
Yes, ma'am, and we missed out on a good amount of good, clear days for work, so... We'll see what happens.
Let's drop signs. I don't know the street signs.
Maybe that's where the sticks are from.
Maybe that's what the sticks are for. For them.
Possibly, but I'm...
Drive by and see.
I'll take a look.
This left-hand side, you're going out of the city.
All right. Yeah, I'll take a look this evening, if not tomorrow morning.
All right. Any more questions? All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 8G, discussion and possible action on primitive camping in Friendship Park. John Holton or Stephanie Walker, whichever one wants to go.
Good evening, Mayor, Council Member. My name is John Holton. I live at 315 Gady. Been living here almost 15 years now. Once in a while, there's things that come up that just don't pass the smell test. And I was always told, if you don't like something, stand up and say something about it. Primitive camping spots in Friendship Park. Doesn't pass the smell test. Why? Number one, park floods. Plain and simple. You're gonna build primitive campsites, it's gonna rain, it's gonna flood, you're gonna rebuild the campsites. You're gonna have fire pits. Increasing fire danger. General location of it. I know I'm not going to take my family to Friendship Park to camp next to Sunrise with the traffic that I know goes from Sunrise to Kirby through the park. Facilities. Who's going to take care of the bathrooms? Who's going to pull the extra duty to do the bathrooms? Who is going to provide security for families when they're in there? Who's going to go to make sure the sites are cleaned up after the families, if they don't clean up? There's just too many factors that don't add up that I could see where this would be any kind of benefit to the city. I think it's a waste of effort, a waste of time, a waste of money. I understand everybody's trying to do stuff for the city. Everybody wants to make things better. I just don't think this is the avenue that we need to waste time, effort, and money on. Thank you.
Thanks. Stephanie? I lost you back there. Somebody sat in front. I couldn't see you.
So, point blank, I'm here to speak out against the campground at the park because of costs, the need for security. We do have a current master plan for our park that we spent thousands of dollars developing. It's a flood zone, as you can see every time you drive past there when it rains. Not to mention that during the last two budget meetings, I did just catch the end of the last one, not the whole thing. There was no mention of such a project by any department head, and on as far as I can see on the Kirby community page, there hasn't been any mention of this being something that anybody wants. I don't know if y'all have thought about the ADA requirements, the insurance needs. I know there are special requirements for TCEQ if it's over an acre. You are also looking at increasing the workload of city staff and public works. And here's something else you might need to think about. How are we going to make sure that sex offenders are not going and getting permits to camp in our park? Parking's always an issue in the park. Fire hazards, if we put fire rings, especially near the homes, noise to the residential areas. We also just heard from Christopher about the fundraising, so I just think it's a little redundant to be asking for this when we have private citizens doing the work that the city should be funding. We have an unfinished storage facility on Benzingoman Road. We have roads in ill repair. The community has expressed an interest several times in a skate park and a splash pad, but on the Kirby community page, one council member spoke out about the splash pad and said it would be a financial burden for the city to upkeep it, which I don't see the difference in a campground. I agree that that area of the park that y'all are proposing is way underutilized, but I just don't think that the campground is the right answer, and I know as a community member, that's not what I want. I'm looking forward to hearing the discussion that y'all are about to have about this item, especially on the research that has been put into it and maybe any needs assessments that y'all have done on this matter. I don't want any of my taxpayer money going when our police officers are the lowest paid in this area, our firefighters, our public works employees. I also don't want a negative reputation that this might bring to our city as far as being a part of the Northeast Partnership. We're already kind of the black sheep of the family, and I just think that we'll become the laughingstock of the family. So in closing, I just want y'all to also know that the true meaning of primitive camping means you have no access to facilities and you carry a shovel to relieve yourself. I just don't think that this is what park goers, residents, trail walkers are going to want to see, especially if it's a full frontal view. So, thank you.
I mean, it does say request staff to research this idea. So I'm gracious about all the
Let me go there first. All right. Discussion and possible action on primitive camping in Friendship Park. Chief, if you want to come up here. However, there was a lot of extensive information here, but really this actually stemmed from a Boy Scout troop that actually was here that really wanted to utilize the space like they had been before, the Cub Scouts and stuff. It was really that. So I'm not really sure how it got blown out to all of this, you know, I don't know, the animosity or their anger or the speak out of this. So That's really where this came from. There was a group of Boy Scouts here, and one of the Scouts, actually Ben Cruz, actually his boys used to camp out, and so they were actually asking something about whether that could be arranged for them to do that. So,
just hoping that passion continues on with a lot of the other things that are going on in the
city. Anyway, go ahead, because like I said, this is pretty extensive, but if you want to...
Okay, well, I'll just kind of hit the highlights of it. But as part of that request, what I was asked to do is just look into the feasibility as if this is something that if council decided to proceed with, is this something that we could do in the park? And in the research that I was doing, I looked for cities in Texas that do allow some form of primitive camping to some degree within their parks. And I found out that in most cases, most of the major cities in Texas do allow some degree of primitive camping. The most prominent one, the one that kept coming up every time I did research, was the city of Austin. Okay, so in your packet, I did provide some basic rules, regulations, what it would take to issuance of a permit, what permit fees would be, and all the rest of that. That is based off of the rules and regulations that are provided by the city of Austin and their Parks and Recreation Department for their parks where they do allow primitive camping. I also did research in with Texas Parks and Wildlife because in most of the state parks throughout Texas, they do allow for primitive camping. And I did also look at the U.S. Forest Service, which is responsible for all of the major parks across the country, and in a lot of their parks they also look for primitive camping. So what I did first off is look at the basic design, and in your packet there is a design shows basically how these things are kind of laid out, and as you can see in the diagram, it's basically roughly a 50 by 50 foot scratch out. Vegetation is killed off. They replace it with either a pea stone gravel or a mulch or something like that. It's surrounded by rock material, telephone pole type, railroad ties, just to mark off the area. Most of them have a concrete pad with a picnic table, a small fire pit, because if you think about it, if you're going to go camping, you really kind of need a campfire. And then some sort of barbecue pit, similar to what we have throughout Friendship Park and Hugo Lentz already. And these items are usually cemented in or attached to a concrete pad or something like that. The site also does contain ample space for at least one good-sized tent. Some parks, depending on where you look at, allow for parking right there at the site. The others have a parking area somewhere else, and you have to hike your stuff in and out. Some parks provided restroom facilities, like what we have in the south end of the park, an actual built building with plumbing and showers and all the rest of that. But the vast majority just provided simple porta potties. No shower facilities. You bring in your own water, your own food, that sort of stuff. I did find evidence that there were some parks that did plumb, so that you had a hose bib right there available if so needed. So the next thing I did look at is some of this equipment. In your packet, you should have some of the research I did on price estimates on picnic tables and fire pits and that sort of stuff. The one thing to think about is the pricing that you see now is probably not the same pricing today, nor would it be the same pricing down the road if we choose to do this. In my best guesstimation, if you're going to do it and you want to do it right, you should expect to spend somewhere between $800 and $1,000 per campsite. The last thing I did was go out to the park and just kind of scout around a little bit and look for places where you would want to put a campsite. And as a couple of the folks who spoke indicated, if I were going to go camping, I wouldn't want to camp up against a 6-foot privacy fence with a house right there. So the most logical place to put these are more or less along the creek bed. And if you kind of spread them out a little bit, put them in amongst the trees to give it a more of a wilderness camping type feeling. But like what was expressed a little bit ago, that area does have a tendency to flood. Now, it doesn't flood every time it rains. It doesn't, I mean, the creek does rise, but to get to the point where, you know, we've washed out firemen's picnics and hobo fests in the past, and that doesn't happen quite as frequently as the more minor flooding. However, it does occur. And if council chooses to do this, that would something that would need to be addressed, specifically where's the best place to put them, and if they're put anywhere near the floodplain, then we would expect to have to do some sort of reclamation, rehab, or rebuild to the campsites once the flooding subsides and we are able to get in there, find the picnic tables if they're not properly bolted down or cemented in. So there's still a lot more things. ADA pathways, I was surprised to find that the ADA does have quite an extensive section when it comes to hiking and biking and wilderness trails and parks, and there's a lot of different materials. You don't always have to have a 4-foot wide concrete sidewalk type path. You can have decomposed granite, you can have types of gravels and mulches. The key that I found in all of their descriptions, that it has to be packed firm enough to allow somebody in a motorized scooter, in a wheelchair, somebody that are on crutches or other type of mobility devices, to be able to navigate it without too much difficulty. So that would be something else to consider. And I did not take the time to research, because there are just so many different mediums to use in the construction of a pathway. It was I could have added 15 more pages to this just in that alone. So that would require a little bit more research.
Again, I don't think there's necessarily any more research that needed to be done, because it was literally a backyard camping kind of experience. Somebody wanted to take their child instead of their backyard. The Cub Scouts or Boy Scouts wanted an, you know, event right there. You know,
well, to kind of address that, in past years, we did have the Boy Scouts that came out at least once a year and did a weekend camp out. This kind of slacked off a little bit, and I don't think they've done it in the last couple of years.
Right, and that's so, where that stemmed from, the whole idea.
In a situation like that, they go out with multiple tents, and there's usually 50 to 100 of them, and they just camp in the park. So the understanding of my instructions in to do this would be to be able to look at the possibility of providing individual campsites for other members of the community not associated with the Boy Scouts, to have some place to go without traveling too far to some of the more major camping destinations in and around San Antonio in southern Texas.
Just in my 18 years at the police department, I think the Boy Scouts only used it maybe two or three times at the most. And all they have to do is come up to the city and ask for a special permit, and the Boy Scouts were allowed. My opinion on this is that, like when we brought it up the last time, I don't know how it got back on the agenda this time, but I wouldn't want it in my backyard. And my backyard is the Kirby Park. And, you know, I wouldn't want to live camp there with sunrise being back there either. You don't know when bullets are flying or what's going through there. So I definitely would not like to have this in my backyard. And I bet you if we take a poll on the people who live in that neighborhood, they wouldn't want it in their backyard either. So if it goes up to a vote, I vote no.
It doesn't have to be a discussion. So.
Well, I would just say this. Having been a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, if a group comes in that is aware, I mean, the Boy Scout motto is leave it better than you got it. Unfortunately, the average person doesn't live by that. If you've seen Breckenridge Park after Easter, it is, I mean, they haul out garbage by the ton. I wouldn't have a problem at all if the people, and see, we can't do this if we do it this official, as long as it's a church group that's well supervised, as long as it's a Boy Scout, Cub Scout, Girl Scout that understands what it is to go out there and camp and leave a campsite, I don't have a problem with that. it just kind of bothers me in a way. I know, are we going to allow alcohol? I mean, are we going to allow adults to come in there with alcoholic beverages, things of this nature? That's what I'm looking at. See, I'd like to see it in having camped a lot of places as a scout. You know, the whole thing is to go out there and make your campsite. You know, you make it. And then when you're finished, you put it back the way you got it. I don't have any problem with that, Chief. And I understand, I think I get the gist of what this wants. The thing is, in reality, you don't have, if we had 100 acres or 200, yeah, and you could kind of get in the middle.
Yeah. But I understand that. And from my own personal opinion, I don't have an opinion one way or the other. If the council decides that they want to do this, then from a security point of view, sure, I will set that up. If they decide not to, then, of course, we decide not to. The only thing I was asked to do was look into the feasibility. But to address the question about alcohol, we already allow alcohol in the park as long as it's not in the glass container. So I don't know if we'd be able to restrict it. I guess we could set up an alcohol-free zone beyond a certain limit, but, again, that would be something to tackle if council decides to proceed
with
this.
I think the Brackenridge Park, I'm almost positive they don't, when they do the Easter thing, they don't allow alcohol. But I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, this is horrible to say, I just don't sometimes trust the average person that doesn't camp, that doesn't understand what it takes to build a fire, to control it, that doesn't take the hacksaw or the saw for firewood, doesn't understand to bring their own. Almost all of your major campsites, as I've camped out in the state parks, they don't really even like you going around pick it up. You need to bring your own wood. I mean, just a lot of little things like that. I don't know if we'd have to put so many restrictions on that somebody might not want to do it. I mean, as far as the scouts coming in, I really welcome them. I think it's great. But, I'm torn between the two, honestly.
But remember, Mike, that was something that was brought up. Because I really didn't make this request last council meeting. I can't remember when we just discussed it. As per Councilmember Wilson said, we kind of went through it because a Boy Scout, an older Boy Scout, had brought that up.
Right.
Guadalupe Park, they sell wood to you as you get there. And Bernie, the Boy Scouts there, there's a wastewater treatment plant with the big lake out there.
Right.
But that's under lock and key. And again, just as Councilmember Wilson stated, they ask, they get a permit, and then they're able to go out there. Like I said, this was, I don't know, when did I make this request again for this? Or who made this request? Because
the initial request was
made when?
A year ago when we first
discussed this.
Yeah.
So I don't know a year later how this got back up here, because, again, the concerns that everybody had are something that we had already started bringing up and shutting it down.
Who put it on the agenda for tonight?
Huh?
Who asked for it to be on the agenda tonight since we kind of shut it down?
Where we were on that, so we put it back on the agenda. Okay.
But it wasn't requested from anyone up here.
Just a general request. Okay. Well,
a year ago was when we talked about it.
A year ago is when we talked about it.
And you know, here's the thing. I like to see things for the kids. I got no problem. But, again,
as I said, this scope
at least we're up here trying to do something.
An idea.
Instead of just trying to knock things down.
Oh, no, I agree.
Like I said, the scope of this was literally a year ago, actually, when the Boy Scouts
I kind of remember that, when the Boy Scouts. See, like I say,
that. See, I haven't heard. They had the Cruz family's been, he's been gone 2, maybe 3 years.
No, that's what he said. They used to.
This thing about that would be about 2 to 1 year.
Yeah. But he was actually working on his Eagle Scout. But
Right. Well, then that's been 3 years.
Right.
At least 3 years. But like I said, it's already in there where they can come and get a permit and camp there.
Is that the case? Because maybe we just need it.
Since I've been here in 4.5 years, there's been one request.
Right.
And we've granted that request for them to camp out.
They usually camp
by
the pavilion.
I know they used to before the picnic.
They usually camp by the pavilion because the bathrooms are there and stuff.
The only other time we've had any instances is with the Living History Association. When they do their demonstration in the fall, a lot of their reenactors camp overnight. Sure. But I haven't had any requests at the police department or to see from any individual families or anything about overnight camping.
If I may say that, you know, in my opinion, why don't we just leave it like it is, with the way things work, and let them come in, and we can handle it on a case-by-case basis.
Decided last time, so.
I think that's where we were last time, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's what we said last time.
Well, this is deja vu, and here I am again.
All right, so any further discussion on that?
No, ma'am.
All right, thanks, Chief.
Thank you, Chief.
8H, discussion and possible action to accept Larry's resignation, or is that Larry? Maybe it's Larry. Jules' resignation from the Beautification Recycle Committee effective immediately.
No.
I need a motion. Is that your motion, Mike?
I make a motion, we accept it.
Second. We have a motion by Councilmember Grant, seconded by Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge, to accept Ms. Buell's resignation from the Beautification Recycle Committee effective immediately. Is there any discussion? Will our City Secretary please call roll?
Councilmember Grant?
Yes.
Councilmember Layton?
Yes.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yes.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Yes.
Councilmember Pierce?
Yes.
Mayor Pierce?
Yes. Item 8I, discussion and possible action on appointing up to 4 alternate members to the Buildings and Standards Commission.
Dreamer.
We have one application for Pat McGarity.
Wherever you need help, I don't know about zoning. I don't know.
Yeah, this one's for the Buildings and Standards Commission. And I do know that they have been meeting, and their meetings have been lengthy. So, anyone who do the alternates always go? So, are they only going if they're called upon? So, have we used any alternates in? But I mean, in the past, have there been alternates?
I prefer it not being alternate to something, it'd be actually useful as a committee is always asking for application versus something that's just going to be on standby.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I'd rather
your application is just behind this one, so.
Right.
I just put it to put it wherever.
Write beautification on there.
All right, so is there any? Okay, so there's nobody for that one, so we will move for that one. Just make sure it says the same. All right. The next one, 8J, discussion and possible action on appointing a member to the Beautification and Recycle Committee. We have a vacancy because Ms. Buell's resignation. That's something that you might want to do.
May I move that we approach her about becoming a member of the Kirby Senior Center?
Whatever y'all need, I am willing to help with.
So you put in an ambidextrous.
If y'all excellent. Need something, my mother is me that if you want to volunteer for something, you can't be picky. You're volunteering your time and your effort for whatever is needed. You can't say that, well, I want this over this. Wherever you put me,
actually, you have a choice on this one.
Well, you
there's actually a choice.
You want column A or column B?
Let me open 8J and 8K up at the same time because there's that way we can talk about both of them. We have a vacancy with the Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board. I don't know, is Norma here? Okay, so, and then, of course, the beautification is what we're talking about. Norma, do you want to talk more, a little bit about what a Kirby Senior Center Corporation Board member would do? Would you just like to give an overview of what a Senior Center Board member would do? That way she can get an idea.
I need hardworking people.
I am shorthanded on board members. I really, when we have events, I would like for my board members to attend the events that the Kirby Senior Center has.
And those events are when?
Those events are like in October we have our Halloween. So we do get funded. I mean, we don't take nothing out of our general operations. Everything gets funded. So we have our Halloween. We have our birthday celebration, which is our luau. That's tomorrow. So board members, if you have the time, come on out. But really, you know, it's trying to make goals.
And on a day-to-day basis of your board members?
I'm sorry?
On the day-to-day presence of your board members, what is that required?
Day-to-day board members, you know, they really need to come in and know how the daily operations run. I've asked for board members. They really don't understand how the center operates. I've asked board members if you would like to come out about 6:30 in the morning to see how the daily operations run. That's pretty early, yes. But if you don't know how the center runs, you really would like to make yourself available, because it is something that, you know, it's something that you don't see.
Most of the activities, they were during the day.
During the day, yes. And I know that everybody has jobs during the day, and it's hard for you to come out to see how the center really does work. But if you have time, like on, I know, vacation, come on out and see how it really operates, because you don't really understand how it operates.
So, Kat, that's yes. Their board is daytime.
And we'd love to have
They have night meetings.
Yes, we do.
They have 6 o'clock. Monthly meetings, but their stuff, a lot of it happens during the day.
So. Right. It is during the day. It's mostly during the day. So it's hard for the board members to come out if you have a job to see how it runs. But you're welcome to come at any time.
And how does this work? I don't know. So I'm like, can I call her Dr. Wade?
Well, we don't have to. I mean, we don't have to appoint tonight if you want to speak with Norma after.
Why don't you go visit with Norma?
Right.
And if you feel comfortable, then come back and then we can.
Yes, because really nobody ever comes and asks me anything to see how it really runs.
And the last thing that we want to do is just appoint anyone to a board member, because just to be there.
Yeah, go check it out, and then you can make a decision based on that.
I do need volunteers too.
So if you,
speak to the person about the beautification. However, I do want to volunteer some time to go ahead and help with me. Center for the senior citizens. I do have two of my own that live 2 doors down. So I know that getting them out of the house, if I'm volunteering, would help kind of bring them out and to do more stuff. I definitely can come and once school starts and do that, I can volunteer as far as saying that if I do have 3 children with special needs, there are times where they get school calls and I have to come pick them up, or we have had instances of run with Clarity where I've had to be at the actual mental hospital right. With my child consistently day in for, but I would love to volunteer and help on a.
I would like to have
so a volunteer, you can go to the center and Norma can get you that information. But as far as this, it's for beautification, recycling, or recycle committee, or the Kirby Senior Center Board. So if you would like to speak with her after that, if you're interested in the beautification recycle committee, being a member of that group, they recycle, so they are at pretty much every activity that the city has to promote beautification, promote green. They have a monthly cleanup street every first Saturday of every month.
And their regular meetings are first Tuesdays at 7 p.m.
And they have adopt a spots out in the front.
So I will go by the next meeting, I promise.
So, okay.
Which one?
All right, so we'll just go through. through then, and then we'll bring that back. It's going to be on every agenda, so if you decide, you're welcome to let us know. All right, so the next, after those, the next one is discussion and possible action on private development projects on Springfield Road. We'll turn this over to our city manager.
So I just wanted to give you all a brief update on the private developments on Springfield Road. So to kind of recap, there are 10 lots on Springfield Road. At this point, it's my understanding that at least 7 of those lots are sold. We've already had some discussion about the first lots, 1 through 3, are owned by Big Boy Holland, and then lot 10 is owned by Benchmark Paving, and that owner was actually the developer who owned and subdivided and sold all of the lots. There's also some additional projects, additional potential projects that owners are looking at buying. But just wanted to let you know that city staff, which included our fire and police chief, our public works director, our city attorney, our city secretary, and myself, met with the property owners and the legal representation from both Big Boy Hauling and Benchmark Paving, just to talk about the status of the project, what's required going forward, and to address some of the concerns that neighbors have brought to council, like the property maintenance, the noise, and the hours of operation. We had a really good meeting, and two important things that came out of that they've offered is to, one, have a meeting, like a sit down with all of the neighbors to just kind of address some of those concerns directly, because they are interested in being really good neighbors to us. And then the other thing is they offered to come to the August 8th City Council meeting and present that information to council as
that
well.
Works.
So whichever one you all prefer, we can do both. We're happy to do that.
I think both would be good. The neighbors, especially, for, you know, let them and then bring that information totally. That way nobody gets a rumor going.
We're going to have legal representation on this meeting, since they brought theirs for whatever reasons?
Most likely. If they inform us that they would bring them to the council meeting, then we would have our legal representation as well. If they're a legal member, we just come in.
You just love being here.
You'll
you
be know. Here on the 8th.
I know, I feel that.
Yeah, we have some other items for him on the 8th.
So the lots that have been sold, is there any way that anyone knows in advance when those certificate of occupancies and all of those different planning, what those lots are going to be before they happen, so that at least there can be notice to the public or those neighbors that are behind there?
So as far as the ones that have not been sold yet, one of the things that we've been trying to do is have a meeting with the potential buyers, which we did have one yesterday with a potential buyer, just to talk about what they were interested in and go over the process with them. So just so everybody knows what the process is, since it's LI, light industrial zoning, our zoning ordinance requires that they submit a specific use permit for whatever use they want to put there. They have to submit, just like any other new business, their actual building plans, and then all of that information goes to our contracted plan reviewer and inspector through Bureau Veritas. They review those plans. Sometimes there's back and forth about things that need to be changed to make sure they're up to our current building codes. And then they also, if they would like to make a change to the property, we provide them with information on the variance request, which, you know, at this point, Big Boy Hauling, they don't have a building permit at this point because they're still in the plan review process. They've been working on that actually since September, going back and forth to get their plans revised. They did submit a variance request, that was process. So all of those steps are in place for each of those. The, like I said, the ones that have not been sold, we've provided them with that information, and then it'll be up to them to determine if they're going to submit the paperwork and proceed. One we met with yesterday had not purchased yet. They wanted to talk about the process and what they could build and then pay for it.
because what came in on that one particular property wasn't what everyone believed it to be. So it, I think that that's where a lot of the communication breakdown happened, and the frustration from the homeowners.
And I do believe that maybe some of that information was because it was communicated by the developer, and not necessarily the actual business owner. So I think there may have been some misunderstanding about what that project was. So I think it would be good for the actual business owner to be able to explain his intent himself without us hearing it secondhand.
Yeah, we can ask for a business plan, correct?
Right, and that information, like I said, they're happy to share that with us, and okay, has to go in there.
I'd rather hear it from the person putting the business in, if this is what, you know, because you're right, I think we lost a little bit in the communications on this first shot.
Yeah, big time breakdown.
Well, actually, it's better. It's better than breakdown, but yeah, it's more like an atomic, but that's okay.
And Mayor, I'll point out that the specific use permit application should, when completed, provide a lot of the information that I think would be valuable to both the Planning and Zoning Commission and the City Council, in terms of the equivalent of a site plan to show where improvements would be, information about landscaping and fencing, a specification from, as Mr. Grant and the city manager have commented, the actual property owner rather than a developer whose interest may be just to sell the property, things related to how traffic is going to go in and out of the property, and make sure there's adequate off-site, on-site prop parking, as well as information about the height of any structures and lighting. So this is a fairly complete list. I can certainly compare it to a special use permit or specific use permit ordinances in other suburban communities to make sure that there may be some other things that y'all might want added to this list. But this is a good start to prevent the kind of problem that the council had to deal with during the variance request from Big Boy Hauling. And one of the things that we did do at the meeting yesterday was give Mr. Gwen a copy of the specific use permit application, because ultimately, if he is going to put up anything, he's going to need to get a specific use permit. Gives the city another opportunity to get information and help the community know what's really going to happen rather than what somebody else said might happen.
Good. That's excellent.
Yeah. Any other questions? All right, we will move to item 9A, request by mayor and council members for items to be placed on future city council agendas and announcements on city events, community interest.
Mr. Snell, is there, or do you know of any cities that have like a multi-use ordinance for property?
The term of art used for that is mixed use.
Okay.
San Antonio definitely has that. I'm not aware of very many of the suburban cities that have that kind of use. The four cities I represent do not have mixed use zoning. I think it is something that is coming. It is something that might be useful. In light of the discussions that you had this evening about the property on Gibbs Sprawl and the property on Seguin Road, that might be an opportunity to have an opportunity for there be a use for a property owner that allows the city to get more of the commercial development that Mr. Lehman talked about, and yet also respect the problems that Mr. Bellotto and others have commented on, that you know, we can't move the property commercially at this time. So mixed use where something like San Antonio has, which is like retail at ground level and the equivalent of apartments
right,
on the upper levels.
Correct.
Some have retail at the bottom, offices in the middle, and residential on top. That is something that might be worth the city manager or the mayor referring to the zoning commission to look at. It's just something that will take some time to make sure that whatever is done is designed that takes into account the unique characteristics of this community.
Well, that's what I'm saying. We're unique in a lot of ways because of, I think that that would be advantageous to us because of how we could, the flexibility, I think, because we have so much residential that you can go back and forth.
Well, we did. The Planning and Zoning Commission did.
What happened to that?
That information, they decided not to pursue it.
Well, let's try it again.
That's a recommendation to you all. You all could very well.
Could we try it again, please? Mayor? Yes, would you please? Thank you so much.
Heidi, can you just take all that information that you already collected?
And I want to thank everybody for coming out. You know, the more that we have that listen and understand what we're trying to do as a city, for the betterment of y'all, we appreciate it tremendously. So thank y'all for coming out. That's it, Mayor.
Councilmember Wilson?
Yeah, I have several things.
She's been writing for an hour.
Number one, on the left-hand side going out on Ben Zingelman, where the new building is, we need code compliance to go back and ask them again to mow their grass.
They have been excited.
I know.
We
it's just, you know, we always talk about going into the entrances of Kirby. Well, that's coming into
yep.
Kirby. And so that needs to really be taken care of. And then another one that it's been almost a year ago that we were talking about the job description for the senior center director. And even our auditor had... that was one of the things that she had told us that we needed to do. So I'd like to know where that is in the process
from
of things.
From the board.
From the board, right. Because that was just one of the things that the auditor had discussed with us that we needed. And it's been almost a year. And then I would like us to put the charter review on the agenda for next council. For us to discuss that. And then... it really bothers me that we have to have city volunteers to make fundraisers to repair city property.
Glad we have them, but yes.
I am so thankful for the people who are volunteering, but it just really bothers me that we have to have, when we have a budgeted for repair things, that we can't do it. So I would like the city to at least offer the paint and the boards to our volunteers who are doing the work, but we're going to offer them the paint and maybe buy the boards for them.
It's already been taken care of.
I know, but I just think that it's, you know, it's our city's property to do. And so I think that if you've taken care of this one, there's other picnic tables that need to be repaired. There's other things in the city that need to be repaired, and I think that it would be nice for the city to offer the money or some money to help repair. And they probably have paint sitting in their storage sheds to paint for the picnic tables and things. So it's just one of the things that I think that we need to look into. I think that's it.
Mike said you had an hour's worth of writing.
Well, no. And thank you, Kathy, for volunteering to serve on anything.
Mayor Pro Tem Aldridge?
Code compliance has always been a thorn in my side. I think this city, this entire city, residents and commercial properties, they are the majority of them are overgrown. I do think that our code compliance officer needs a lot of help, but I do also think that in the meantime, before we can get her some help, I would like to see if our other officers, if they are able to step up in their spare time when they're not on calls, if they are run by an overgrown residents like the second house on the right on Cinderella, which is completely overgrown, they need to write a citation. There is the trees at the corner of Diadem and Old Seguin. I mean, the limbs are so low, one tree looks like it's going to fall over. There is a big horse trailer in the parking lot at the far end of the Diadem Food Mart. That parking lot is horrendous. I understand that the owner is, you know, uncompliant, but we need to take certain steps to get these, to get the residents and the business properties in line to where they look presentable. And then I noticed over here on FM 78, where we had our former German restaurant, we have another used flipping car lot in Kirby. Come on now.
We're looking for a record for Guinness.
Okay, I'm done. I'm off my soapbox.
I really don't have anything. Just thank everybody for coming in tonight. Hope y'all come back and see us again. A lot of times this is the only time that we know things that are going on in the city by the citizens participating and telling us and raising a flag for it. So thank y'all for being here. Come back and see us.
Going back to what Kim said, I think that some of the business owners don't know about the facade program that's available. And I think that we should make an effort to let them know that it's there. Because I know that, for example, the Diadem Food Mart, they could use that to paint the building or work in the parking lot or whatever, but that would be a big help.
I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Councilmember Pierce? All right. I will read this letter from Ms. Russell, from Jan. To Kirby City Council, Kirby Planning and Zoning Commission, dearest friends, Reggie Russell's family is greatly overwhelmed by your tribute honorary street sign for his dedication. Reggie always tried to serve the Kirby community in every way possible. We have resided on Theodore since 1971. He was especially proud of his co-commissioner, city manager, city secretary, and mayor to work with planning and zoning to improve this community for all residents. Our family is most grateful for your tribute to his many years of community service. Jan, Greg, Robert, Rachel, sorry, Rochelle Russell. And Stephanie had mentioned no one being there. I would have been there except it happened on a day that I could not be off. I had actually spoken with Jan prior to that. So I, for one, try to go to as many events as possible and take time off if it's during the week, which is why I've always asked that if at all possible it be on weekends, where not only council that work can be there, but also for the community that does work, so that everybody can get involved with that. PNZ, I'm the liaison for PNZ. The board right now is extremely new. The chairperson right now is having a conflict work schedule. That is, the PNZ is something that I'd like to have a joint meeting with council. The mixed use permit, that was an extensive meeting over a course of several meetings, and it actually stemmed from the EDC because they were able to get a representative, our state representative in here, and she explained at EDC all of that mixed use permit information because she herself is a entrepreneur and is a developer. So that is information that Patty already has. So it's something that she can give everybody, and we can move forward with looking at that. Actually, a citizen actually during council comments actually suggested that as well. Probably over a year ago, almost a year ago. The PNZ and the crime control meetings coincide with each other. So there's a scheduling conflict. I'll address one of those other comments that was made. there's a scheduling conflict with those two meetings, so it makes it difficult for people to attend both of those. Or so I'd like to see if possibly, I don't know if we can move P and Z or no, because that's by the charter. Okay. So we may have to find different liaisons for that one. Maybe we can switch around so that, because PNZ wasn't meeting regularly, so it wasn't an issue with that time frame.
Parks and Recs no more.
Yeah. Well, that's it. I'd actually like to bring back the Parks and Rec, especially now that we have interested people. Maybe it's those people that would like to, you know, to look at that to see if they want to volunteer in that aspect, since basically that's what's happening right now. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Thank you, everybody, that signed up to speak. And thank you to all of our employees, our residents, for making Kirby what it is. Meeting adjourned.
Food. I'm going to come by your house and drop her off.